This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Yeah, I think the guy was a Christian. I could tell from some of the language. And so
you didn't ask him,
but I don't remember asking him.
Did you tell him you were a pastor?
I probably did tell him that. Yeah. I told him this is a blessing and
yeah. Okay. So. Well, that's great. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? That's a great story. See, that's the kind of thing when you're up there and you're preaching about finances, you tell that story. Jesus always punctuated with stories. You know, I get people on the show or I get preachers that talk around issues, facts, facts, facts. I belong to a writer's group, and it says, don't tell me, show me. And see how that story does that? I love stories like that. Mm-hmm. So that's a great lesson. What do you want to talk about next?
So just to review, so we've got small purchases that add up. Try to avoid those. Try to avoid wasteful purchases, which just means purchases that you're not going to use. Even if it's something great, if it's not great for you, if you're not going to use it, if it's just going to sit on your shelf, then avoid that. Also, don't be like Esau. You know what I mean when I say don't be like Esau? Yeah. Esau's impatient. I just want that stew. I want it now. I need to have it. I'll give up my birthright for it. We need to. There's so many benefits in Scripture associated with patience that it's just a great virtue, you know, and it definitely applies to finances.
Esau also, you know, Esau gave up his birthright. Well, when you're the firstborn male, even to this day, there is favor with the firstborn male. God's not a man that he should lie. So when Esau was said, I'll give you my birthright, he was really saying to God, I don't care about your gift. I don't care. It means nothing to me. I want my bowl of porridge right now. And I was just thinking, I want to lose weight, right? And I was thinking, you know, you were talking about patient, wait patiently, wait a few days. Right now, I go out, I'm hungry, I'm going to have lunch a little later, and I'm thinking, be patient. Like right now, okay, so you want that ice cream. Well, right now, why don't you eat something that's protein and vegetables, and then if you still want the ice cream, and 90% of the time, you're not going to still want the ice cream. So I'm just thinking, well, I can apply that not only to finances, I can apply that to whatever you're doing, that patience mm-hmm. is a virtue, and it puts you, here's the positive side that I never knew. I'm writing a book on dignity, and the thing is, like, I've been spending time in Vermont in the summers. The law there, as it is the law here, but they actually do they follow the law there. When somebody steps off the curb, you stop. Now, all my life, it's been about me. I got to get to the doctor. I got to get to the dentist. Now, also, I'm on the way to the dentist. A lady steps off, and she's got a baby carriage. You wait, Rhett. You're not first. Pedestrians are first. And it feels good to discipline. Says, that's right. You're gonna wait. And then comes an older man, and then comes another old lady. I'm waiting here. That's okay. I'm going to be late to the dentist. That's okay. Because you know what? They're first. You're not. And you feel better as a human having exercised that discipline. Said, no, my better self is in charge of the selfish self. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Stanford marshmallow experiment, Rhett? Have you heard of that before? Okay. So Stanford conducted this experiment a few decades ago. They brought these children, they brought a child into a room, sat this child at a table, and on the table, they put a plate with a marshmallow. And they told the child, you can eat this marshmallow right now, but if you wait, I'll come back and I'll give you a second marshmallow. But they don't tell the kids how long they're going to have to wait. They don't tell them how long it's going to be until they return. Mm. And so they have videos of this, and it's super entertaining because you're watching these kids at the table and they're like salivating and, you know, they're wringing their hands and they're grabbing the table, squeezing the table, and they're trying, you know. And of course, all of the children fall into one of two categories. There's those children that ate the marshmallow, and then there's those children who waited for the test to people conducting the test to return to bring them a second marshmallow. And that's just the beginning of the experiment. Over the following 20 years, they followed all of these young people. And I wrote about this in Your Finances God's Way too, the results, that they found that all of those children who waited for the second marshmallow did better in pretty much every testable area of life. They did better in SAT scores. They did better in body mass index. They did better. I mean, you name it, and they did better in it. Why? Because of what you were saying. They applied discipline. They were self-controlled. Mm-hmm. And that discipline or self-control is something that's applied to all other areas of life and allow them to be successful in all those other areas of life. And so you can look up on YouTube and see videos of that. It's pretty entertaining for sure.
Cool. There you have it. And throughout life, the patience will pay off. So instead, but it's taking it and for me and making, you know, patience was a negative word. Just like, for instance, when I read in the scriptures years ago, it said, I had a pretty abusive stepfather who was very angry and drunk and was abusive with his anger. And it said, be thankful in all things. Be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God for you. And a couple of years later, I realized, that's not his voice. His voice is be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God for you. Mm-hmm. If you know, if you sit down and you've only got baked beans and bread and butter, and you know, but you know, you say, well, everybody else has got steak and lobster. Be thankful, oh, Father. I know somewhere there's somebody in Africa or around the world that they're starving, and they'd give anything to have these baked beans and bread and butter. Now yeah. You're filled with thanksgiving. How good those beans can taste! They can taste better than a steak if you're thankful enough.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, Rhett. I don't know if I'd share this with you. I know you get my newsletters, but I took a trip to Africa earlier this year. I was invited to go teach at a Bible college the first week and teach at a pastor's conference the second week. It's in Malawi. Okay. And that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that because Malawi is one of the poorest places in the world. Not that, I mean, many places in Africa are poor, but Malawi is pretty much about as poor as you can get. So we're talking super third world countries. And something super interesting happened. When I got to, when you go to Malawi, at least from the United States, you're hit by the level of poverty. It's shocking. It's just, you know, almost overwhelming. You almost could feel despairing for these people and what their living conditions are like. You know, the dirt floors, no furniture in their houses. The houses are just bricks. Yeah. And so I'm seeing the level, you know, if a vehicle goes down the road, there's like, you know, 20 people crammed into it. They've got a truck. Every truck looks like the front tires are almost lifted off the ground because the whole bed of the truck is just filled with as many people as they can get back there. And so when I got there, I just thought, boy, I am going to be so thankful for everything in my life when I get back to the United States. I am just so wealthy. I have so much. Even like the road conditions, you know, when you're in Malawi, your roads are washed out by rivers, you're driving, it feels like you're going to throw your back out, you know, you're going to destroy all the shocks on your truck down every road that you drive. And so it's just like, I'm thinking, boy, when I get back to the United States, I'm never going to complain again. I'm going to be so thankful. I'm going to recognize how much I have, that I'm incredibly rich compared to these people. Mm-hmm. So I get back to the United States and sure enough, I was super thankful, but it didn't last. Pretty, you know, within a few weeks, I start taking for granted what I have. I stop noticing just how blessed we are, how rich we are. And so it's very common to not be thankful. It's very easy to take things for granted. It's very easy to forget how blessed we are. And so I'm supposed to go back to Africa again this year to do some marriage conferences, one in Malawi, really? And one in Uganda. Yeah, I got invited to go back. We have some friends who are missionaries, Andy and Lisa Langdon, and they started a nursery in Malawi. That's how I ended up going there the first time. And I'll say this, Rhett, if you start a nursery in a third world country, you're pretty much one of my heroes. And so these people, you know, I think super highly of them, Andy and Lisa Langdon, they started a crisis nursery. It's called a crisis nursery because they take in babies that are going to die, that are being abandoned. And so they're the ones who invited me over there and set up these ministry opportunities for me. I went with my son last year, and then this year I'm going with two of my sons, Ricky and Johnny, to go to Malawi and then to go to Uganda to do these marriage conferences. And I'm just trying to remind myself, you know, how blessed we are and how fortunate, how good God has been to us, and that I don't want to take that for granted, and I do want to be thankful like you're describing. But it's very easy. So my next book, which I should publish within a few months, it's about contentment and covetousness. And the relationship between contentment and covetousness is covetousness destroys contentment. You could be content, but then you see someone else who has a better house. You see someone else with better shoes. You see someone else with a better spouse. You see someone else with better children.
Comparison causes bitterness and resentment.
Yes, exactly.
I could look at you and say, well, you have 10 kids and I don't. But also, I don't realize that you need to be thankful because I have the freedom to do such and such. Whereas, you know, I mean, there's always two sides to every story. Not everybody's doing, everybody thinks everybody else is doing better than them, and they're not.
You're exactly right.
You know, Jerry Seinfeld said, you know, life stinks. He says, but on the stage, or I went to see him live, said, life stinks, but he says, but mine stinks too, but just maybe a little less than yours. But anyway, but everybody, we're all going through things. You know, we're all, so be thankful. When I went to Zimbabwe and I came back, I remember how big the roads looked in the USA. My word.
Oh, yeah.
Or I went to Haiti on a missionary trip twice. You come back and in all of Haiti, there's not one grocery store. I walked into Publix. I went, oh, my word. I mean, or you go to England. They have brown bread. They have white bread. Now, it's not a third world nation, but they have brown bread. They have white bread. You go into any supermarket in America and you got, you know, you got 72 different kinds of bread. Some's with pecans in it, some with raisins in it, some dark, some medium, some light, some super light. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy with the options we have here. Yeah, so being filled, you know, anyway, being thankful in all things, for this is the will of God for you. By the way, we're out of time. We've got 1 minute and 40 seconds. Scott LaPierre is the father of 10. The 11th is on its way. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
And he has written this book. He is a pastor to a church out in the state of Washington. And what city are you in, by the way?
I'm in Woodland, Washington, which is about 20 minutes north of Vancouver.
Woodland. Okay. Yeah. What's the name of your church?
Woodland Christian Church.
Okay, just in case somebody's listening and want to find you. Scott LaPierre, and that's capital L-A, then capital P-I-E-R-R-E. And the title of his book is Your Finances, God's Way. It's not a get-rich-quick book, but it is going to put your life in order and help you enjoy life a lot more by following the Lord's way with riches. Your Finances, God's Way. You said that Jesus actually talked about riches as much as he did sin?
He talked about finances more than almost anything except the kingdom of God. And he might have used finances for, like with the parable of the talents or the parable of the minas or the parable of the rich fool. And so he used finances, a talent was a unit of money. So when he teaches the parable of talents, he's using finances as a principle to apply to stewardship or serving God with the abilities or talents that we have. So yeah, super common topic. So Red, I appreciate you having me on your show. If any of your listeners want to find more information about me, they can go to my website, scottlapierre.org. I believe your show will put the link to my website in the show notes there so they can find me, or they can search for me on the internet, find my sermons on YouTube. And I'd be glad to help any of your listeners any way I can. So I appreciate you and your ministry, Red, and just that we have this Christian voice out there on the airwaves that's preaching Christ and bringing the good news of the gospel to so many people. Red, I'm very thankful for you.
Thank you, Scott LaPierre. Your Finances, God's Way. Hey, it's a new day. It's a great day if you want it to be. Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Is Alzheimer's or dementia affecting your loved ones? Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a dedicated team of experts that actually treat these terrible diseases. They have over 50 tools to address root causes of cognitive decline. In the study of the protocol they use, 75% of patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America is now open in Port St. Lucie.